And at that time, Mr. Horton, you were out of the room. Representative Przanski, and we are back in work session, by the way, on House Bill 2808. Representative Przanski raised a question about the listing of crimes for chronic neighborhood offender, and which is the folks listed above, the burglars, unauthorized use of a vehicle. He was inquiring about the listing here of robbery and whether or not that's the kind of thing you connect up with neighborhoods. Could you discuss this a little bit, please?
I'd be happy to do that, Mr. Chairman. I believe that the intent of including robbery and chronic neighborhood offenders was as follows. Robbery, really, in most circumstances, can be both a person crime and a property crime because it usually involves a threat of physical injury as well as an attempt to commit theft or actually a theft. And really, I think the intent of a classification of chronic neighborhood offenders was as follows. If you're living in a neighborhood, what sort of people are going to be living nearby that may commit certain offenses that reoccur, such as auto theft, breaking and entering into a home or a residence? Robbery seemed to fit within that classification because certainly there are persons, as we've seen in, for example, the recent Grant High School case in Portland, that really do these robbery-type offenses over and over. Now, there is some overlap, I believe, with major felons, and that is the only area of overlap that there would be, as I see it, between chronic neighborhood offenders and major felons.
Now, colleagues, there's a couple of complications here. One is that today is May 7th, and we are supposed to be finishing work on House bills. The other is that we've been trying to devise various creative schemes to avoid a fiscal impact, but the reality check is that if you want to do this kind of stuff, you can't avoid a fiscal impact. We have a couple of choices, and I'll lay them out and get your thoughts on this. One choice is for me to appoint a work group of folks who handle this process and ask them to get together and see whether they can synthesize something that's doable that focuses on the problem and ask them to come back to us. But I'd have to give them a short fuse, which I don't like to do, which would be like Tuesday or Wednesday, because we could probably still get permission to work this bill till then. The other alternative is for us to send this bill to Ways and Means with no recommendation with the Dash Tree amendments going along over there, and appoint the work group and ask the work group if they can come up with something that'll work, or at least something that they can then describe the fiscal impact of Ways and Means about. It would probably go to the Public Safety Subcommittee. Representative Przanski and I are on that subcommittee. And then we could work with the co-chair of Ways and Means, who's the sponsor of this bill, and Representative Westland, who chairs the Public Safety Subcommittee, to see if they're willing to suck up to whatever the fiscal impact may be. So I'd welcome your thoughts, and I'll just do a round robin here with Representative Bowman first.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess for me, one of the issues is the fiscal consideration. But for me, I really have this fear of what we're creating. What kind of expectations are we creating out in local communities by giving this and making this information public? Especially when you're talking about, you know, people who have been arrested for assault or burglary or something like that, doing a specific community notification. I mean, is the goal to make community members feel safer that they have someone in their community who has served time in prison for, you know, for burglary or assault or things of that sort? Or are we setting up a system that will create chaos in local communities? I mean, I can see the impact of all of a sudden you find out that, you know, within a two-mile radius you've got, you know, seven people who've been released from jail in the last year for various crimes. I mean, what does that do to neighborhood livability? If the goal is to make members feel safe, how do we provide this information and calm the chaos that's created by it?
Short answer is you're real uncomfortable sending this to Ways and Means without getting into the policy issues.
Yes.
Sounds like a Realtor Employment Act.
I mean, I do think that the policy issue is the big thing.
Representative Sincere, what do you
think? It's the money. I think just in terms of policy, I'm wondering if we're pushing up close to some edge here.
Representative Gianella, no comment. Representative Przanski.
I'd follow up with Representative Sinceri. I think, Mr. Chair, you brought up the point about us not finding ourselves into some type of national registry. Seems like we're going to be on a head start as a model for the feds if we you know, we've got three categories, and it seems to me we've got some overlap with what 740 is going to be dealing with some of these individuals. And policy-wise, it'd be great to have a broader discussion. Clearly, we want to make certain that people have the access to the information, how they get it, when they get it. I think that's the stuff that we want to talk about.
President Hanson?
I've got a couple problems. One's the money. I don't know if this, in terms of the next $1.7 million of public safety money, if this would be our highest priority. The other one is I still don't have a real comfort level in terms of what we're trying to do. Whether it's raise people's comfort, I think Representative Bowman is right that we're going to make people feel less secure simply by knowing that in North Portland we have roughly 600 people on probation at any given time. If you chalk back over the next 10 years, that's getting up into a few thousand, even if you've got some repeat folks there. The other concern is I don't know quite how that notification and stuff works. I'm not terribly concerned about maybe a chronic car thief that lives next door to me, because if my car disappears, it's going to get real unpleasant real quick. On the other hand, probably car thieves or burglars or people that are living a mile from my house are probably a higher threat, and we're not going to get to that. So I don't know how much fear we're generating without really accomplishing.
Okay, thank you. Representative Simmons, were you in here when I was saying I just wanted some feedback about whether we try to work this here still or send it to Ways and Means with a recommendation or with no recommendation? There's a real fiscal concern here about this system. Did you want to comment on that?
Mr. Chair, I see the value of tracking individuals who have found that their cells on the wrong side of the law, but I'm just going to defer any further comments on that for now.
Well, here's what I propose to do then, based on your comments. I have the same concerns about policy implications as well as the financial implications here. And I also wonder if we're getting into something that will eventually be just like sentencing guidelines, the most complicated system in the world. I'd almost want to get back down to saying, look, we're just going to track every felon. If you're convicted of a felony, for the next 10 years, we're going to have a registry, and all felons will be tracked. And when 10 years are over, you're dropped off the screen. But we're not going to do that something so revolutionary right now. But it's getting too complicated, and it's going to be we're going to have these charts and grids, and we'll have a commission. We'll call it the Offender Registry Commission, and they're going to devise guidelines for how we determine who's going to be, and I can just see it happening. If there's some things that can be done short term, I'm going to ask Mr. Horton to check with some of the involved people to see if there's some narrow, bullet, refined version of this that can deal with some specific issue, which, by the way, we can then look at in an advisory capacity, even though the bill is over in Ways and Means. I would suggest that we simply send the bill to Ways and Means with no recommendation. And that means, too, that Ways and Means, should they work on the bill or amend it, they always confer with the Substantive Committee Chair. That gives me a chance to see if there's been a work group that's come up with something, and we can then say, okay, let's go ahead and do these modifications. And that means we're just, yes, washing our hands of it for now, saying we don't think in this session we can grapple these issues.
Mr. Chair, is there a possibility for us to send this to the Interim Judiciary Committee and have them bring a recommendation back to the next legislative session?
We could modify the bill to ask that the interim, I don't think we need to have a bill to do that. I think we could simply request that it be done.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think that's a good idea. The problem is that it doesn't resolve the fiscal problem, and the Interim Judiciary Committee would be left with that problem, or would pass it on to the Judiciary Committee in the next session. It would seem to me that we ought to send it to Ways and Means now, let them resolve that, and if they wanted to recommend it to the Interim Committee, they could do that.
Now, the implication, by the way, in some committees, sending things to Ways and Means is sending it, as it's called, to the boneyard. In this case, we've never sent any bill to Ways and Means just to send it to the boneyard. However, This bill is being sent to Ways and Means unpackaged and without a recommendation, which we've never done before. I think it'll be pretty clear that we're not saying, please do this. We're saying, we're not sure we can package this with all the other things we've been doing this session in a proper fashion. If a work group comes up with a package and maybe wonderful, that's okay, but I think it's going to have to be pretty narrow. Representative Hansen?
Well, actually, I think there could be some ways to address this without a huge, huge financial process, and that might be through changing public information laws, making the current data that's already available a little more accessible for people that really want that. If I was going to spend that kind of money aimed at these problems, it'd be grants for neighborhood DA programs.
Okay. And anyway, since we're running out of time, I'll entertain a motion that we refer this bill to Ways and Means with no recommendation. And, of course, I will ask Mr. Horton to see if there's a task group that can work on this issue.
One final thought, Mr. Chair. What if we just let this bill die?
We're
not letting the issue die. Clearly, we have 740. And
the reason I wouldn't let the bill die is that
look at the names.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill 2808 to the Committee on Ways and Means with no recommendation.
Colleagues, you've heard the motion to refer 2808 to the Ways and Means Committee with no recommendation. Is there further discussion? Is there objection? I see no objection. The motion is carried. House Bill 2808 is sent to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means with no recommendation. And I'll ask Mr. Horton to see if there's a work group that could refine some of these issues and perhaps come up with some recommendations.
Sure.
This closes the work session on House Bill 2808.
Hey, my name's on there.
Now, let me...
What was I saying about me?
You tried to kill your own bitch.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Did I do that?
Now, let me explain something about HJR. I will call us into work session on HJR 87 through 94. Let me explain something about HJR 87 through 94. We received the amendments last night and this morning. I've had a couple of requests from members to have a chance to evaluate these very carefully. These are constitutional amendments, after all. I had intended to set a final work session on Monday after we go through these today, only to find that through a procedural glitch, no notice was issued yesterday afternoon for any of our bills to be set on Monday, and under the 36-hour rule, we cannot hold a work session on anything on Monday. I also found out that I tried to say, well, how about if we just have an informal discussion? Well, we can't have an informal discussion with more than three members of this committee present because that violates the open meetings law, and I can't even recess us to Monday. I then looked at recessing us until this afternoon so we could work the bill, but that doesn't give members time to develop any LC drafts as to modifications. So,
sure.
Representative Simmons.
Does this mean that you are reluctantly going to give us Monday off?
I am reluctantly giving the committee Monday off.
Yeah.
Please don't tell our staff.
Yeah, don't tell our staff.
Yes. But here's what's going to happen. We now have these amendments. In a minute, I'm going to ask for comments from a couple of folks about them. Anybody who wants to see any changes to these amendments has between now and Tuesday to get LC drafts of revisions, because we are going to work these amendments Tuesday. And no, we're not going to talk conceptual amendments Tuesday. We're not, and I'm not going to ask for suspension of rules. Any proposals will need to come in formal fashion, unless I'm advised that somehow LC would cooperate, and then I'm willing to intervene to make sure they do cooperate. And if that's the case, we'd do conceptual and then await the LC drafts. But I'm concerned with making sure that members have a chance to present their proposals. We will hear all of HJR 87 through 94 in a combined work session on Monday and work our way through them,
Tuesday,
and pass them out. I apologize for the fact that this is not set for Monday. Now, I'm going to ask Mr. Frank to come up since he's been one of the advocates for the proponents, and he's here today, and Mr. Rice to come up. What I want to do is review the amendments briefly and just see if there are particular comments about these and any ideas that we need to take into consideration. I'm going to allot about just 10 or 15 minutes for that today. We do have one bill, or a couple of bills we still need to try to work today. and we're working up to a 10 o'clock. And I apologize. We're working up to a 10 o'clock deadline. Good morning. Mr. Frank, could you introduce yourself for the record?
Norm Frank, Chief Deputy from the Multnomah County District Attorney's Office.
And Mr. Rice, could you introduce yourself?
Jim Rice, working for Noble Counselors Association.
Mr. Frank, have you had a chance to review the Dash 1 amendments to HGR 87?
I have.
What's your position, from your perspective, how do these look to you at this point?
I think that they comport with the intent of trying to, as nearly as possible, carry out the mandate of the electorate as to a portion of Measure 40.
And are there any particular word changes that you are going to be recommending?
I have none.
All right. And by the way, I'm not going to hold anybody to specific word changes. I'm just curious at the stand. Do you want to add a comment, Mr. Frank?
Well, I just wanted to say, Chair Mannix, members of the committee, my comment would be the same as to all of the HJR.
So for 87 through 94, you're satisfied that the language is adequate and appropriate?
Yes.
All right. I appreciate that. Mr. Rice, do you want to talk about some of these?
Chairman Mannix, members of the committee, Jim Rice. We really have discussed our positions in this, and I'm not going to rehash that matter. However, the last time I was up here, Chairman Mannix, you mentioned the article in the Oregon State Bar magazine, and I had not had a chance to read that article. And it's a fairly scholarly piece that raises some questions on HJR 89-1, the different requirements that this would propose a criminal proceeding have versus a civil matter and or grand jury issues that are stuck in there as well. And it would appear to me from reading the article that there is certainly a constitutional uncertainty about this that I don't think anyone can give a definitive answer to at this point, other than if we're going to have perhaps two or three categories of qualification for jury service, it raises significant constitutional questions that perhaps can only be addressed by the Supreme Court of either the state of Oregon and or the United States, unless amendments were made to have a more uniform system.
Let me ask a question. Mr. Frank, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know whether you wanted me to comment and, on that issue.
I don't think
all.
That's necessary.
But the only information I wanted, if I could, Chair Mannix, members of the committee, is to provide to the members of the committee that, of course, this portion of the measure was, in effect, both in constitutional form and now currently in statutory form, and will be in effect completely until July of this year. And I'm unaware of any successful constitutional challenge on the bases cited throughout the state during that time.
Let me ask a quick question about to both of you on the 89-1 amendments. It seems to me we could quickly eliminate any question about whether grand juries should be covered by changing line 12 so it would read, in all grand juries and in all prosecutions for crimes tried to a jury, the jury shall be composed of.
Well, Chair Mannix, members of the committee, as I believe I mentioned when I spoke to the committee last time, as a policy matter, I don't disagree with the chair. However, I'm concerned in that I think what we've tried to bring before the legislature here is a basic principle, and that is that the voters of the state of Oregon who passed Measure 40 by 59% ought to, subject to technical points, be permitted to vote on those policies again.
Let me interrupt you, though. And those of us who were proponents of Measure 40, I think, assumed that grand juries were covered.
They were not.
Were they intended to be?
They were not.
How about Senate Bill 936?
Well, they were not covered. They were covered in a separate, my memory is, and I don't want to, I'm not sure I'm correct on this, but I believe the bill that addressed grand jury qualifications in the last legislative assembly was a separate bill, and I don't remember the bill number.
From my perspective, I wanted grand juries to be covered One of my big concerns was felons serving on grand juries.
Right.
And it would seem to me that if we added the phrase, and since we have to wait till Tuesday anyway, we have time, in all grand juries and in all prosecutions for crimes tried to a jury, the jury shall be composed of persons who, then we've eliminated for all time any question and eliminate 100 appeals during the next 3 years.
Well,
let him answer the question and I'll hear from Representative Finley.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Mr. Chairman, all I can say is that I don't disagree with you as to a policy matter.
Now, I'm not including civil juries here.
I understand. I simply, that issue was not addressed in Measure 40. When it was addressed in the last legislative session, it was addressed in a separate bill. That bill is passed. It is law. That portion of the bill is not sunsetted. I'm unaware of any successful constitutional challenges to it. And I just think the basic principle is worth maintaining, and as such, I wouldn't be an advocate of doing it, although I completely agree with your policy point.
Well, since it's in our hands and we're referring it out, I'm pretty comfortable doing it. In fact, we have technically the right to do anything we want to on this referral.
You certainly do.
Would you object to having grant, from your own perspective, as opposed to the concept that it was a Measure 40, to having that clarified here?
Well,
added?
I'm always reluctant to object to anything that chair wants to do, and this is the chair and the
when I ask questions like that, I don't mind negative or positive answers.
Chair Mannix, members of the committee, my position would be that I think we ought to not go beyond the mandate of Measure 40, and as such, I my personal opinion would be that I would disagree with including grand jurors in the measure, unless there was some well-founded belief that it was necessary in order to maintain the constitutionality of the measure. Now, I'm unaware of any court that has ruled that that's required, and I don't believe, I'd be glad prior to the Tuesday hearing to consult with the Department of Justice as to whether they feel there's a problem there, and if it was necessary, or if there was some reasonable belief that it was necessary, then I would agree with the chair.
Well, Mr. Rice, what's your comment on that?
I put my kids to bed and it's so late when I start to read, but I thought at the very end of that article that there was a distinction as to how this matter was being interpreted between Lincoln County and Multnomah County. And what the specific arguments were, I don't know. Subject to constitutional challenge, I mean, to me that really means that it's gone all the way up to the Supreme Court. Trial judges are knock-kneed in trying to overrule things on constitutional basis unless they're so obviously unconstitutional, such as the pretrial release provisions were the last time around. So I think if we're going to start looking at making tiers, perhaps one system might be the best system of all to avoid constitutional challenge. If there's three separate ones now, it seems to make it even more complicated than it's been. I'd be happy to reread the article and come back on Tuesday and discuss the matter further.
President Leonard, did you want to... Okay, he's just here to see me on the side here. Well, I'm just raising a question, and I appreciate that, Mr. Rice. Representative Brzezinski.
Chair, could you just go over the language again, where you would be inserting your thoughts?
It'd be on line 12 of the Dash 1 amendments.
Okay.
So it would read, in all grand juries, comma, and in all prosecutions for crimes tried to a jury.
Thank you.
And go ahead, and I'm going to go speak with Representative Leonard, so I'm going to ask you to hear from Mr. Rice. I'll be right back.
Mr. Frank, I just want to get one clarification. Your thoughts as a proponent and advocate for Measure 40 is that the voters should have the right to vote again on the basic policies, the fundamental policies that were presented in Measure 40?
Mr. Chair, Representative Brzezinski, yes, that's my basic belief.
Thank you. Gentlemen, any other comments? Mr. Franklin, you said that you pretty well had gone through all of them and were pleased with how the language is currently written in the Dash Amendment.
members of the committee, Representative Przanski, yes, I have. I mean, I've just had a chance to review it this morning, and I wouldn't want to indicate that after, you know, conferring before Tuesday that I would be adamantly opposed to any change or anything, but in the brief review this morning, I'm comfortable with the language as it stands.
Okay, thanks. Mr. Rice, do you have any other comments? I know that the chair wants us to continue. We've got to be on the floor in 15, 17 minutes.
I believe the last time I was questioned on House Joint Resolution 89, I suggested that perhaps Rose Jade, who has made this scholarly study of what these problems are, come in, and I'm going to ask to see if she's available on Tuesday to come in to supplement the record, since she is the person in the state who's made the most significant research in this area, and I'd ask her to be brief, to be to the point, and perhaps add some comments.
Mr. Rice, what I think the chair would agree to is if you have that person and she is available, that one, she should be here. Two, this will be a work session, so there's no guarantee. If the committee has some questions, she may be invited to come up to make some comments. I would suggest that if you have any changes, if anyone has any changes, as the chair said, these are going to be worked on Tuesday to get them out. And we should be basically having things together on Tuesday and ready to go, because I don't expect we're going to see them staying on committee beyond Tuesday.
Very good.
Any questions for either of the panelists?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else here in the room that wanted to make any comments regarding the HJRs in a summary fashion before we move forward on the other bills that we have today? Mr. Snyder?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, for the record, I'm Paul Snyder, representing Association of Oregon Counties. I've been talking with Mr. Dole and Mr. Frank about HJR 94 and HJR 90. The issues that I raised last time we discussed this in committee, HJR 90 is the pretrial hold piece, and HJR 94 is the sentencing one. I still got some concerns, and I frankly think it's worth the while of everyone concerned here to have a record that's reflective of the intent that's adopted by the committee. We had discussed, and Representative Mannix had suggested, would it be helpful if, for example, in HJR 90, page 2, line 3, before the word danger, the word significant were inserted.
Could you just get us back to that one more time?
I'm sorry, yes. HJR 90, page 2, line 3.
All right, we're talking about the actual bill, not the amendment?
Oh, I'm sorry, the amendment. The proposed amendments, HJR 90-1 amendments.
Okay, and again, page 2?
Page 2, line 3.
Okay.
Whether to insert the word significant. Now, that's a policy issue because I think it somewhat raises the bar. And the question for the committee and for the proponents is, do you want to do that? The concern that we've got is primarily resource-driven, and that is the more people who are held at the front end who aren't being held now, somebody's got to go out the back end. And what are the policy choices that are presented by this? And I think the word significant gives us a better idea about the level of danger that should be considered in deciding whether or not someone should be held. As I mentioned the other day, Mr. Chair, in the same draft on line 24, it defines violent felony as actual or threatened serious physical injury, but going back again to line 4, that on the question of whether to hold an individual, it's a question is whether is there a danger of physical injury. It doesn't, again, refer to the word serious. So
okay.
These are issues for the committee. Do you want the danger to be serious? Do you want it to be of physical injury or of serious physical injury? And in either case, it's a matter of how big is the pool of people that you would hold because of this provision.
Okay. And did you have something else you said?
Yes, Mr. Chair. With respect to HJR 94, again, I talked with Mr. Frank, and he's indicated that reading HJR 94 in conjunction with Senate Bill 936 from last session, it was not his view that it would impose a significant problem for jails, and that it's a matter of what Senate Bill 936 says, and with the committee's indulgence, I'd just like to take a look at it in the context of this bill and see where there are differences, and if the differences make a difference in terms of whether legislative intent should be restated.
Okay. So let's just make sure everyone's clear on this. Mr. Snyder, my understanding, the chair, we are going to be working these on Tuesday with the understanding that they will be moving out on Tuesday. So if you have any other thoughts or concerns, they need to be worked up and presented on that day, or the bill's going to be moving forward.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Yeah.
Representative Hanson.
Well, this is a question for staff. Am I to assume that there will be an amendment for the significant insertion?
Do you mean the serious physical injury and physical injury? No.
No.
Okay. I think Mr. Frank's got a comment.
Mr. Frank, did you want to comment on this?
Thank you. Chair, members of the committee, I discussed these two issues outside. I really have to say that I think both of these issues are not a problem and will not have an impact on bed space. As to the pretrial release provision, which is, I believe, one of the two issues that was raised, although I didn't hear all of the testimony, a more wide-ranging provision was in effect for several months in Multnomah County under Measure 40. There was no significant impact on bed space. I mean, that's not to say that it didn't affect certain individual cases. It did. But we're not talking about a significant impact on jail space. As to the House Joint Resolution, the one dealing with sentencing, which is, I'm afraid,
9-4.
I'm 9-4. While this may not be the identical language of the provision in Measure 40, it is very close to the identical language. And the key portion is line 13 and 14, where it says, no law shall permit a term of imprisonment imposed by a judge in open court to be set aside or otherwise not carried out. Now, that term of imprisonment can include, and 936 creates the presumption that the judge will include it unless he finds substantial and compelling reasons otherwise, the delegation of the ability to give good time and cut sentences to others. And so this is not, I mean, I just want to assure the committee that this is not going to have a significant impact on jail beds, because it's the provision that we've been operating under 936 is completely consistent with it. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee.
All right. Representative Brzezinski, did you have a question?
No question. I just want to throw on the record regarding 936. When we had that presented to us at last session, it was in the sense of making everything conform to the past Measure 40. And so that's when we went ahead and made it statutory.
Mr. Chair, Representative Brzezinski, that's correct. And so although this would reenact that provision of Measure 40, because of the statutory provision in 936, which implemented that provision of Measure 40, I don't see that there would be any change in the current effective operation of the law under the sentencing portion.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We will have a work session on Tuesday. Anybody who wants to propose any changes should bring in their amendments. I will allow further comments on Tuesday. I'm sorry about the time frame. And, in fact, I'm sorry that we don't have Monday, but, yes, it is a day off. Representative Brzezinski.
Mr. Chair, while you're out of the room, Mr. Rice asked that the individual that did the article for the bar, if she is available, if she would be given the opportunity to speak. I told him that it would be, one, that she'd have to be here on Tuesday, and, two, if there were questions that came up, I believe, on HJR 89, that you would probably allow a very brief presentation.
Yes. And what I will also do is, for purposes of discussion, I will ask Mr. Horton to request that there be a -2 version of 89 with the interlineated changes we talked about, so at least we'll have that in front of us ready to move if we want to. And other folks who want different versions of these should also have those ready to present on Tuesday. I apologize for the fact that we've had to, well, this is the way it is now in session. Maybe I shouldn't apologize. The work session on HJR 87 through 94 is closed. we will do one more work session because I think we're close to closure on House Bill 3374. Yesterday, we are in work session on that bill. Yesterday, Representative Posansky, quite properly, with some also some comment from Mr. Pedenke, raised a question as to one of the amendments that we brought up, the Dash 8 amendment, as to whether or not this runs into the Measure 10 problem. I, unfortunately, have focused on this business about license suspension or revocation, but I had not focused on the quite proper point that we're dropping from a Class A to a Class C misdemeanor, and that does have, obviously, a sentencing impact. So we are in work session. I'd first entertain a motion that we rescind the referral to the floor with the due pass. All right, Representative Sun moves. Is there objection to that motion? Seeing no objection, the motion is carried. House Bill 3374 is back in front of us. Now, Representative Simmons, as to your Dash 8, I guess you have a couple of options, but the one option I would respectfully suggest is that we go back and modify the Line 15 to change the Class C back to Class A, which is a technical enough change that we wouldn't have to have an LC draft for that. Do you so move?
I do.
We have that motion in front of us. Representative Posansky?
Mr. Chair, I guess respect for my colleague from Elgin, I'm going to have to object, or I just want to put on the record, I think that you're going to have still the two-thirds vote. And the reason I believe that is when you look at that section, and this is under ORS 498.164, paragraph 4, it says, any person who violates subsection 1 of this section commits a Class A misdemeanor and, upon conviction, shall be, in addition to the appropriate criminal penalties, have their his or her privileges to apply for the hunting licenses suspended for a period of 5 years on the first offense and permanently on any subsequent offense. It is my interpretation that that is part of the sentence that is to be imposed. And so if I don't think the fix can be just moving it back up to a Class A.
And what I will do is this. I will ask for a letter of opinion from Legislative Council about the effect of this amendment on this bill, so we will have that in front of us. And that's an appropriate concern, Representative Posansky. We do have in front of us the motion to change Class C misdemeanor to Class A. We are under notice that that may or may not change the two-thirds vote requirement, but at least we have that issue in front of us. Further discussion on the motion? Objection to the motion? I discern objection, so we will call the roll on the motion to change the Class C misdemeanor back to A. Representative Posansky, one moment, please.
If the motion is just at this point to make the what would be the proposal for the amendment back up to a Class A, let's make sure that everyone understands that. That's what I understand. That
we are only modifying the amendment, which is already adopted, to change it back to Class A misdemeanor. But that leaves the other changes in there.
But that, okay.
So your issue is still pending.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, I guess there's two ways I see that we can handle this. One would be, and I will be opposing that amendment at this point if we're not going to rescind the adoption of 8 to make that change and then represent it, because I believe that preserving the rights as required under Measure 10, there's going to have to be a two-thirds vote.
Not by the committee, but by the House. To my understanding, it's not a committee vote that's required two-thirds. It's a vote of the House and the vote of the Senate. That's
okay.
What I've been told by Legislative Council.
Okay, that I, yeah.
So we have in front of us a roll call on the vote to modify the previously adopted amendment to change the Line 15 Class C misdemeanor to Class A misdemeanor, which is current law. And would you please call the roll on that motion?
Representative Bowman?
No.
Representative Gianella?
Aye.
Representative Hansen?
No.
Representative Simmons?
Aye.
Representative Sun-Sarris?
Yes.
Vice Chair Posansky?
No.
Chair Mannix?
Aye. The motion is carried. Colleagues, we also had some... Yesterday we were working on 2903, but for a variety of reasons, when we adopted that bill, we had amendments prepared, the Dash 14 amendments prepared for 3374, which were the same as what we adopted in 2903. And to be frank with you, because of the relating clause on that other bill, it's preferable that I not proceed or that we not proceed with that bill. We had it amended. It was sitting in front of us. What I would recommend at this time is that we adopt the Dash 14 amendments, which were presented for this bill, into this bill,
And we will, in effect, be adopting what we were working on in 2903. If you have those dash 14 amendments in your file, and they were what we adopted yesterday for 2903.
Do we have 2903 on today's?
I do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. On the agenda?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but I'm not recommending, I'm not pulling us into work session on that.
Did we refer that?
No, we don't have 2903 on the agenda today. I'm looking.
That's too much now.
Let me see.
Oh,
it's on the original.
It's on the revised one.
No, it's on one.
Revised two, it's not on there.
Not on two.
So, it's not on the second revised agenda.
Right.
But that's all right. We're not going to act on 2903. That bill is set aside. But we do have, I'm saying that we do have the dash 14 amendments to 3374, which fit this relating clause, and do exactly what we proposed to do with 2903. So I would ask Representative Nasseri if you move the adoption of the dash 14 amendments to House Bill 3374.
So moved, Chair.
My colleagues, we have in front of us a motion to adopt the dash 14 amendments to House Bill 3374. These amendments do what we adopted yesterday in 2903, which we did not send out. Is there discussion on the motion?
Yes.
Representative Bowman.
I'm pretty confused. We adopted these amendments yesterday.
Well, we have them available for two bills. We had them for 2903 and we had them for 3374. We were going to do them as a single shot with 2903. But if you look at the relating clause on 2903 and you think about what we're doing with 2535 and Senate Bill 700, which relate to firearms, you would understand that I've suddenly been given a political signal that I should not move a separate bill relating to firearms, which is 2903.
Mm.
House Bill 3374 does not have that relating clause. And I can move 3374 and address the issue that we addressed in 2903. Political sleight of hand, and that's what's happening here. Representative Pozanski.
Point of this for the record and clarification for myself. These are the changes that were proposed to us by the Department of Justice to bring in, to into modern time, the definition of a handgun.
Yes.
And
and the affirmative defense.
Yes.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, we're not playing any games on substance. It's process that I've been warned about.
These last-minute sleight of hands will make you a little nervous, won't they? I got it now.
So that's what's happening. Is there any objection to the motion? Seeing no objection, the dash 14 amendments are added to House Bill 3374. And now we have the bill as amended. Representative Nasseri, do you move to send this bill to the floor with the due pass? All right, colleagues, Representative Pozanski, on the motion to send to the floor with a due pass. Yeah,
Mr. Chair, because of the problem with the dash 8, I will need to vote no on this.
I understand. All right, we'll call the roll on the motion to send 3374 to the floor with a due pass.
Representative Bowman?
No.
Representative Janella?
Aye.
Representative Hanson?
No.
Representative
Simmons? Mr. Chair, just a clarification. Didn't you state that we would hold this until we got an opinion from the attorney?
No. I just said I'd get an opinion, but I'm not going to hold it.
Okay. Aye.
Representative Panzeri?
Yes.
Vice Chair Pozanski?
No.
Chair Manning?
Aye. The motion carries. House Bill 3374 sent to the floor. Pardon me. With a due pass, I'll assign myself as a carrier. And we will get that a letter opinion so we have it before it gets to the floor.
Mr. Chair.
Notice of minority report.
All right. We have a notice of the possible minority report.
Same
this closes the work session on by Representative Brzezinski and Representative Bowman. Sorry, Patsy. This concludes the work session on House Bill 3374, and we are adjourned. Whoops, we're not adjourned.
Can we please do 2350, which actually technically needs to be sent to the floor?
All right, we'll do this quickly. Okay. We'll move into work session on House Bill 2350. Council, where are we on that bill?
We adopted the dash 2 amendments yesterday. The committee did not send it to the floor, and it would need to be sent to the floor.
There is no fiscal impact. We had.
We are waiting for fiscal impact information.
And there is
we now have that.
It does not need to go to Ways and Means per the proponents and per Ann Christian.
All right.
Before we get there, make sure I know what I'm getting ready
for. Okay, sure. Yesterday we adopted the dash 2 amendments having to do with the judgment of guilt, consent of the district attorney.
Stop program, et cetera.
The stop program.
Oh, is that that?
And, the clause is fine.
And we weren't sure if it had a fiscal impact, so we deferred it to today.
Okay.
Sure. That's
what we have in front of us is what? The dash 3s?
No, the dash 2s.
The dash
2s.
Okay.
The dash threes were pending and are not being offered.
And this is where that Mr. Bradley came in and gave us the testimony.
Exactly. Does that help?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I should make sure people understand what we're dealing with here. Sometimes it's...
There's a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot. Right,
so moved, Mr. Chair.
All right, Representative Bowman moves that House Bill 2350 as amended be sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any objection? Seeing no objection, the motion is carried. House Bill 2350 is sent to the floor with a due pass. Representative Bowman, do you want to be the carrier on this? Representative Bowman is the carrier. Any further? All right, this concludes the work session on House Bill 2350, and we are adjourned. Thanks.